the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're kind of a small group today, so I can make a confession. It's always easier to confess if there's just a few people around. Although, it sounds like it's being recorded. May not end up being a confession to a small group. You know, before Bishop Peter called me a couple weeks ago and asked that I come back and be rector again of St. Innocent's, I had been thinking for probably at least the year before that, pretty much the whole year, that I consider myself not a very good priestly reflection of the Orthodox Church. And the reason I say that is because it seems the more that I have been around the church, the more that I have had an exposure to Christianity all throughout the years, it seems as if what is presented is this nice historic teaching and tradition. That here we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, we have the birth of Jesus Christ, we have his teaching, we have his death, his agony on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and then the books close. Like, this is it. And the job of the priest is to tell the story, to do the services. When we read the gospel, right after the gospel, it's closed. And we hold it up and we bless everyone. And I almost think so often that the book should not be closed because it's not a closed revelation. The gospel continues to live. It's not a closed, ended story where now we all know this and we do our little dutiful activities of coming to church, saying our prayers. We die and we wait for the Lord to come and get us. But it seems to me it's so, so much more than that. I was just reading yesterday that if there is something that needs to happen in terms of the great Christian revelation, it is to continue to realize that Christ still lives, that there's an ongoingness to our Christian life. And this author was talking about how the roots of Christianity came out of the Old Testament, which surely is true. The Christian religion came out from that. And how the Old Testament was built upon ideas oftentimes of the wrath of God, of the atonement, of the sacrifice of animals, the blood sacrifices to appease an angry God or to get right with God. And this author was talking about how we have carried that same mental concept into Christianity. And so Jesus becomes the one who is the sacrifice. He becomes the one who atones for our sins. He becomes the propitiation. So he becomes kind of like, and we even say that, the sacrificial lamb. And the sense is then that we don't really have to do a whole lot. This is not really a deeply integrated thing. We just need to kind of go through our our emotions and be nice, respectable people. It seems to me that the revelation is not closed. I mean, we listen today to, I have to be sure I get this right, we listen to what St. Paul had to say. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that? And I think in large measure, that's not something that we do know. And by know, I mean realize. We don't really fully embrace that realization. This past week, a cardiologist friend of mine and I were walking down the hall, and he said, I've been thinking about something. He said, what do you think about this? He said, the mind is always occupied with things out there. He said, just look at your mind. Look at what it's occupied with. It's always about all these other things. It's extracranial. It's kind of outside the cranium. That's where the mind is concerned. But he said, the mind only turns to the body when we have pain. If there's something wrong, we feel something, then our mind turns right to that area. And his question then was, how do we get the mind to constantly pay attention to the body? Because when it does, it can't pay attention to anything else. He said, try this today. Become really aware of your body, the temple of your body, and see what marvelous sensations are there. And then he went on to tell me how he had been aware of this recently and how he became so aware even of his heartbeat and the first sound and the second sound of his heart. It seems to me that the book of Revelation is not closed. We are not to just be dutiful little Christian people. We are to be people who realize, truly realize, that we are the temple of God and that there is a Spirit, a Holy Spirit, that indwells our very being. At one point in time, I was going to try to count how many times during the course of a liturgy we have written into our books that we are to say, O God, cleanse me, a sinner. And I started one day, and I think I got to 12, and I gave up because it was so early on. But what struck me is the focus upon our sinfulness, the focus upon our fallenness, rather than the focus upon the presence of the resurrection, the presence of the life-giving Spirit that indwells our soul. Every major spiritual tradition that I know of speaks in different languages about what one may call the lower self, the higher self, the false self, the true self, the egocentric self, the ego self that's filled with more of a divine radiance. In some way, there is always this teaching that yes, we have this aspect of ourselves that dwells in ignorance, that doesn't face the light, whatever you want to call it. But there's also within us this great image of God and this life of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that actually lives in us. But for some reason, we get so captivated by the downward pull rather than the upward lift. We prefer to stand and look at the shadow rather than to turn and face the light and be illumined. So, today, the gospel we heard. We heard about Peter walking on the water, doing something incredible until he became fearful and he lost his bearings and he started to sink. There is this higher nature in us that is something we need, a light, guidance, wisdom, that brings us into that higher, more elevated way of seeing and being. And that one is the one whom we proclaim as our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. The one who is the light on our path. So I remember saying to Bishop Peter one day, okay, I'll come out and do this, but I have a different thrust. And the thrust is how vital I feel it is in a parish community in the future that everybody realize just what I'm talking about, as I just explained. That we develop, each of us, deep lives of interior prayer. That we don't just rattle off prayers morning and evening, but we actually sit, commune, realize this presence that indwells us. Because that Holy Spirit is alive in the world. Christ lives, sustains everything. Trees, plants, the galaxies, everything is sustained and living in this great embrace of divine love. And that very presence indwells us and is essentially us as a Christian. Our identity is not on whatever word you may use, the little self, the false self, the fallenness. Our identity is on ourselves as individuals in whom the breath of life is constantly breathing forth a holy fragrance. And when we can have that realization, that's when we have such a sense of inward joy. And that's what the world needs. It is not, to me, about doing a lot of programs to get a lot of people in the door. It is about, are the people in the door praying? Are they holy? Do they realize this divine aspect lives in them? The world is well aware that things are a little off base, and that there needs to be a place of centeredness, grace, silence, divine love. And so that's what I pray for us in the future, that we all realize that in fact we are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us and amongst us. The blessing of the God be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always and on, ever and unto ages.